The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code ROSS. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code ROSS only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/football for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
If you'd like to make your NFL games a little more interesting, you've come to the right place. It's the Even Money Podcast with Russ Tucker and Steve Fezzik.
Yeah, Vegas, baby, Vegas. We are rolling year-round on the Even Money Podcast. Although we are taking next week off, I will be at Disney World with my wife and daughters. Very much looking forward to it. So we'll be off for a week next week. You can go back and listen to some of our recent Even Money podcasts if you missed any of them. Or you can always check out some of the other podcasts that we have over at RossTucker.com, like Andrew Brandt's Business of Sports podcast or Fantasy Feast podcast. A lot of you that are into the gambling stuff, you're into fantasy as well. Evan Silva and I have a terrific podcast, the Fantasy Feast podcast, which we already recorded for next week, so you guys can check that one out. Or, of course, just the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. We are presented by BetDSI.com, your place for online gaming, period. BetDSI.com. You play, you win, they pay. The key is to make sure you put in the code Tucker15 when you go to BetDSI.com, so that you get the free $15. Again, BetDSI.com. Use that code, Tucker15. He is the star of the podcast. He's the only two-time winner of the Super Bowl of professional football gambling. The one and only Steve Fezzik. Check him out on Twitter, at Fezzik Sports. And when he tweets out the podcast, do us a favor and give it a retweet, or you can retweet me at Ross Tucker NFL or Brian at RTF Podcast. If you're a Facebook only person, it's facebook.com/RossTuckerNFL. All right, Steve. So today we're getting into some NFL stuff. We're going to get into some Kentucky Derby stuff. I did want to start first with NBA playoffs. We've hit that pretty hard. You've made your feelings pretty well known about the NBA playoffs, especially Golden State. Is there anything there worth discussing right now? Has anything changed? Anything you're seeing value with?
Well, I'd be remiss not to mention I've had a terrible NBA playoffs, so I am reloading at BetDSI. I really thought that Toronto would bounce back strong against Cleveland game two. And I think the one theme that I can mention, and it's applicable to today's game, I've never seen this, Ross. Teams that are down 2-0 have come out ablazing this year in the playoffs. If you just bet them in the first quarter and the first half, you'd be 10-0 making those bets for a team to bounce back down 2-0. Washington applies today. So Washington is not as good as Boston. They're up to a 6-point favorite. I've never seen this before. The first half line is 5. So the first half line is almost as large as the game line because of that recent trend.
Wow. So you're saying to do it just for the first quarter, not for the whole game.
Well, the first quarter, you're laying 3 or 3.5. So normally on a 6-point favorite, you'd be laying 1.5 or 2. So the market the odds maker is very much aware that these teams come out of the gate a-blazing, so you're paying a huge tax for it. I did not get involved with it.
Got it. Okay. Anything else NBA-wise we should talk about?
Just that Golden State remains minus 250 against the field, and more it's looking like a given it's going to be Golden State-Cleveland.
Let's get into the Kentucky Derby. Now, for the people that might have missed last week's show, Steve, you were pretty clear about the disadvantage in betting horse racing. It's interesting, Steve, because I didn't realize this until a couple guys mentioned it over at tuckheads.com. You know, the forum that we have that you hop on sometimes for our listeners, that evidently it's not like that. Like in Australia or in England, it's you're not at that competitive disadvantage like you are in the States in horse racing.
Yeah, so the problem is that you I don't like the horse racing because you make a bet and then they tell you what your odds will be right after the horse race goes off, and there's a 20% house vig. Although I shopped around, and there is one place in Vegas that actually has lines that you can lock in right now at the Westgate. So I'm just running them down the top five horses right now. They have is McCracken at 5-1, Classic Empire 5-1, Ganerva, apologize if I mispronounced that, 6-1, Always Dreaming 5-1, and Irish War Cry 7-1.
Do you have any tips, any thoughts?
I am going to seminars, unfortunately, tonight and tomorrow. You know what? If I get anything, I'll tweet it. But if I do play anything, it will almost certainly be a horse matchup, one horse against another. I'm looking for my experts to tell me a horse they like, some horses they don't like, and I want to bet, similar to a golf matchup, I want to bet one golfer against another golfer. I don't want to try to pick the winner, the needle in the haystack. I want to play a matchup.
I didn't even know they did that for horse racing. You can just pick one horse to do better than another horse?
That's correct. For instance, at the Wynn Las Vegas, they have some up. So, like, Irish War Cry is minus 125, Always Dreaming, Take Back at minus 105.
Got it. Okay. I'm going Irish War Cry. I've been a long-time Irish War Cry fan. I grew up, you know, watching Irish War Cry. I've always known that Irish War Cry would win this Kentucky Derby. I'm kidding. I know nothing. I went to the Kentucky Derby one time, Steve, and I picked on Friday. They call it the Oaks. There was only one horse that was from Pennsylvania. And so I put, I don't know what it was, $20, something like that, in the Kentucky Oaks, the big race on Friday. I put $5 on the horse, or $20, whatever it was, on the horse from Pennsylvania, who was like a pretty big long shot. Of course, it won. My horse won. The Pennsylvania horse won. So, I do think a lot of times, I wonder what percentage of people, Steve, bet based on, like, they read up on it and they listen to commentators and then they bet, versus they bet on they like the name or they like where the horse is from and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's a great point that in these Triple Crown races, you get so much public money into the pools that it's certainly possible that there is an advantage to fade that public money. Example, there was a horse named Macho Man the year Macho Man passed away. And of course, he got way more action than he should have. Similar to your Pennsylvania bet, it was the logical fun bet to make.
It's interesting, Steve, getting into the NFL now. There's a couple things I wanted to talk to you about. I was looking at some of the odds for Super Bowls, you know, the odds to win the Super Bowl. And I know you don't like these bets because they're needle in the haystack bets. But what's interesting to me about it is on February 6th, the day after the season, New England was 5-1 and Atlanta was 14-1. As of March 16th, New England went up to 4-1. Or down to 4-1, I guess. The current odds after the draft, New England 7-2. So essentially 3.5-1. And everybody else, for the most part, their odds have gotten worse. Atlanta had come down to 12-1. They stayed there. But Dallas has gone from 9-1 to 12-1. Green Bay from 9-1 to 12-1. Oakland, actually, and Seattle were 16-1. Now they're 12-1. So it's interesting just to see the movement over time in the Super Bowl odds. I can't remember the last time a team was that heavy of a favorite. 3.5-1 like that, like the Patriots are.
And the scary thing is that if I had to make one bet into that futures pool, New England is the only one that I would even consider, because I have them power rated through the moon to start the year. I have them 10 points better than an average team.
Wow. What about some of these prop bets now for the rookies? Do you ever dabble in any of those, Steve, like offensive rookie of the year, whether it's Leonard Fournette or Christian McCaffrey, Deshaun Watson? Are those still, in your mind, needle in the haystack? You're not getting value there.
Well, they're needle in the haystack, but I do think that you can find value. I would almost always look towards a running back, a quarterback. Very difficult to have a good first year, although, you know, it's certainly been done in recent years. The wide receivers, it seems like, and I want to ask you about this, though, a rookie wide receiver is more likely to struggle than a rookie running back. Is it just that simple that, hey, we're just going to hand the ball off to a running back, but the wide receiver learning the system takes a year?
Yeah, I think receiver, a lot of times, that's a tough position because it's a lot more involved, too, mentally than it was in college. Number one, you know, as a running back, you're reading the offensive line, you're hitting the hole. It's not that different from college, other than the holes close up a little bit, you know, faster. In the NFL, the coverages are much more varied. They are much better at bump and run along the line of scrimmage. So your press man coverage, a lot of times these rookie receivers can't get off the press coverage because they're not used to going against guys that are that good with their hands, that good with their technique. And tight ends even have more trouble sometimes because they're trying to block grown men that they couldn't even block guys in college. Now they're trying to block these monsters, as well as, you know, you look at when they run their routes, they have the same thing. You know, there's much more varied coverages. It's much more mental. And the guys doing the covering are a lot better.
And it sure appears to me that you can get in the doghouse pretty fast if you don't read a blitz, adjust your route correctly. The quarterback stares down the wide receiver and he just doesn't see the ball for a while, right?
Yep. It's tough. There's not a large history of successful rookie tight ends and rookie running backs. There is a pretty good history. I'm sorry, rookie wide receivers. There is a pretty good history for rookie running backs, which is why when you look at the offensive rookie of the year odds, Fournette is number one at 7-2. McCaffrey's number two at 5-1. Then Deshaun Watson at 6-1. But then right after that, back to another running back, Dalvin Cook at 8-1. So three of the top four offensive rookie of the year odds are running backs. And the one that isn't is a quarterback that a lot of people expect to start from week one for a team that's a perennial playoff contender in Houston.
Yeah, and I would be shocked if Watson started. I would think that he's going to need a year. He might take over midway through the year if Savage struggles, but I can't believe he would be starting week one. He'd be a huge underdog, I think.
What about some of the rookie props, Steve, like Myles Garrett, 7.5 sacks in the regular season, Leonard Fournette over under 1,000 yards rushing, Christian McCaffrey over under 1,100 yards total. That's an interesting one because that's total. That's rushing and receiving. Do you look at any of those?
Now I think we've got something we can bet on because I love a prop that there's a yes and that there's a no on, Ross. And, well, as far as sacks for any player in the Browns, I would go under because the Browns are going to be losing all their games. How many sacks is the entire team going to be able to get? That's one that would be a no-brainer.
Okay. Yeah, I would go under for Myles Garrett, 7.5 as well. They also have some stats for the some of the veterans that have signed. Adrian Peterson, 900 rushing yards is his over-under. Marshawn Lynch, 850 is his over-under. I got to tell you, Steve, I'd go under for both those guys, I think.
Yeah, one injury and you go ahead and cash, and it's no lock when you get a running back once he goes to the wrong side of 30 that he just loses a tenth of a second on this 40. And as you know, Ross, that makes all the difference between getting through a hole and not making it.
Yep, I would go under. In fact, I really like those unders. So when we come back, Steve, in a couple weeks, we are going to go through the NFL win totals. And I'm really, really looking forward to that. That's one of my favorite shows each year. So when we're back in a couple weeks, we will go over the NFL win totals, the early lines, so you guys know. But since we already did the primetime games for week one, Steve, I want to go over the late afternoon game. So we already did the primetime games. Did we lock in a best bet there? The Giants, maybe?
Yeah, we hit the Giants +6 at Dallas Sunday night.
+6 at Dallas Sunday night. Okay, so let's look at the afternoon games for Sunday afternoon, since we already did Thursday night, Sunday night, and the two Monday night games last week. We've got Indianapolis at the LA Rams. The Colts are laying 3.5, Steve.
And it looks about right to me. I do think the Rams are going to be improved this year. So difficult, the move from St. Louis to LA, the culture change, all the travel last year, going to London, trips to the East Coast. I just think it was a lost year completely for the Rams. So because of that, I don't even know if Andrew Luck's shoulder is 100% yet. They say it is. It's going to need to be to justify a 3.5-point favorite on the road. I would lean to the Rams.
Wow. That says a lot about how you feel about the Colts going into the year. I'd probably lean Rams as well, playing at home and getting more than a field goal. Then the marquee game Sunday afternoon, Steve, is Seattle +3 at Green Bay. So the Seahawks on the road against the Packers getting 3 points.
So two teams that are pretty darn equal, expect both to win 10 or 11 games. I actually think Green Bay is a little bit better. I think Seattle's defense has regressed. That division is so bad for them, they're going to win the division again. But with both teams, I have a 4-point home field advantage for Green Bay and for Seattle. And because of that, two pretty equal teams, I only have to lay 3 with that huge home field. I will take the Packers minus the 3 1-star.
Wow. Okay. I'm going to put one unit on the Rams, getting the 3.5. I'll put a unit on the Packers. I'm still not sold on the Seahawks offensive line right now. So I'll put a unit on the Packers. So I guess we've got two best bets, huh?
The best bet.
Finally, Carolina. The Carolina Panthers are playing at San Francisco, Steve. And they are laying, they're giving 4.5 points. So it's Carolina giving the Niners 4.5 points, week one, late afternoon game.
Yeah, just one housekeeping item. I, too, will do the one unit on the Rams. I really like this Carolina-San Francisco game. I'm going to put a caveat here. I think this line can do nothing but go up, up, up. I think Carolina bounce back spot. They had the Super Bowl hangover. And yes, their defense did not play well last year, but they've got their offense is going to be so much better this year. This line is really short. The wine and cheese home field in San Fran's not what it should be. San Fran is either the worst or the second worst team in the NFL. Carolina should contend for a playoff spot. I'm going to lay 4.5, 3 units.
Wow. 3 big units. You know what, Steve? I'm actually thinking about going the other way. Believe it or not, I have a lot of faith in Kyle Shanahan, and I think Brian Hoyer will be able to do a pretty good job in his system. I like the pick of getting Solomon Thomas and Reuben Foster in the first round. And my concern with Carolina comes with they're trying to change the offense, because of Cam Newton getting hit so much. So they're, what they're trying to do is they're trying to have him, you know, throw the ball underneath more, dink and dunk to McCaffrey and Samuel. I don't know if that's going to fit or suit Cam or if he's going to be able to do that. And I also, I worry and wonder about his health. You know, they're hoping he's back by training camp. We'll see, you know. But even if he is back by training camp, how good will he be in that first game? So I'm going to put one unit on the Niners, actually, laying the 4.5. So we're going head-to-head, big boy.
You know, if I may make a suggestion as a professional gambler, why don't you wait on San Francisco? Because I am confident with all the public money that's going to get bet week one, you're probably going to get 6 in September. No reason to play the Niners yet, Ross.
Okay. All right. Well, I like it. I will take that professional advice that I needed. So thank you very much. Also, I want to get to an email. I don't know. Did I tell you last week about the email from Sean Grady? It's known on the as the Grady Bet.
No.
I don't think we got into it. So you guys can always, if you want, take advantage of any of our sponsors and over at rostucker.com and send me, including BetDSI, of course, using the code Tucker15, and send me any questions you have for Steve or any point you want to make. But this one actually was a point that was made over at Tuckheads, Steve, that I thought was really interesting from Sean Grady. He is one of the international guys over at Tuckheads.com. And he said, after learning about 2-team teasers from Steve, I've recently started making my own on the rugby league in Australia by adding 6 points to the line of the games in a multi. It's been so successful in my punters club, it's now referred to as a Grady Bet and resulted in a few more subscribers to the Even Money Pod. So Sean Grady, who's one of the best Tuckheads out there over at Tuckheads.com, he is doing a lot of your teasers, 2-team teasers, and I guess not a lot of people did that over there, and he's been killing it. So, Steve, you got another very satisfied customer.
I'm going to have to look up what the totals are in the rugby league. If the totals are below 45 points, it would make sense that those 6 points would be worth a whole lot. I really do not know.
Don't know a whole lot about rugby. Yeah, I don't either. I know this much though. Sean in Australia does, and he's doing fantastic, just like we are doing fantastic every time we get the chance to have an Even Money podcast. Remember, next week we're off, but, and this is important, the following week we will dive into the NFL win totals. We'll also talk about the Belmont. No, not the Belmont. We'll also talk about the Preakness, which I've actually been to twice, and I can give you a little insight into my experience at the Preakness. But make sure you're subscribing and you listen in a couple weeks, because that podcast is going to be awesome, breaking down the NFL win totals. He's Steve Fezzik. Check him out, like I said earlier, on Twitter, at Fezzik Sports. I am at Ross Tucker NFL on Twitter. The iTunes rankings, comments, always much appreciated, as is those of you that take advantage of the Amazon banner ad that we have for you. Other than that, good luck, everybody. Hope you guys win some money.
Thanks for listening to the Even Money Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, the Fantasy Feast Podcast, and the College Draft Podcast, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.